Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
I need your help this morning as I begin my message. See, there we go. It's cold outside, so everything's having struggles this morning. I'd like for somebody to describe for me the United States like I have never been here or heard of it before. Anybody? I heard a voice. Like a family. Like a family. Well, now, you know, think about this. You're going to give them a description that would make them want to come here. I mean, like a family is cool, but anybody can help me? Give me a little bit more than that? Okay, Ray, let me come over here so they can hear you. At least I can hear you. Describe it.
God's gift and model to the world.
God's gift and model to the world. All right. Anybody else? See if they want to come to God's gift and model to the world. It's one big family.
One nation under God.
One nation under God. Oh, we're building it. Anybody else? You just don't want them to come to our country, do you? Just everybody stay home. They're just coming for a visit. They're not coming to stay and have us feed them or something. But they're just coming for a visit. They want to see what we're like. Who lifted their hand? Okay, Kay, come on, give it to us.
Everybody's rich. Nobody has any problems. They think that I've been there in these other countries. They think this is the greatest country in the world. And everybody wants to come. So, and the you know, they do think everybody's rich, but really to them, we are, all of us.
Okay, so come to the rich place. Do I see another hand over here? Did you have your hand up?
I was just going to say land of immigrants. It's a land of immigrants. If you come, you have opportunity to work hard. If you work hard, there's really no limitations to what you can achieve.
All right. Land of opportunity. Anything else? I don't know. Sounds like a pretty good place to me. Anybody else have a thought? United States, how are you going to put it out there? You know, if you talk about the country. Oh, here we go. He's back in the back here. I'm going to get back here.
I think I can project.
Michael, come on, let it rip. There we go.
Congregations of people to open spaces.
From sea to shining sea. There's a description in Jeremiah of a place, and I've always, it doesn't necessarily fit with the United States, but when I've read it, it says a tall people in a land divided by rivers. I thought, you know, that almost sounds like us. The rest of the context doesn't kind of fit with us, but it does sound like us. We are tall, right? Come on. Or at least some of us produce tall kids, let's put it that way. All right. Jesus does this for us about the kingdom. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like. We're actually going to look at a number of parables for the next two Sundays, today and next Sunday, that fall under this category because he wanted us to know what the kingdom of heaven was like. How many are part of the kingdom of heaven? Good. William Newton Clark says the kingdom of God is not realm, but reign. Not domain, but dominion. You'll have to ponder that a little bit. I'll give it to you one more time. The kingdom of God is not realm, but reign, not dominion, or not domain, but dominion. Martin Luther said, if thou be not in the kingdom of Christ, it is certain that thou belong to the kingdom of Satan, which is this evil world. He is saying really what Jesus said, that there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, which is under the authority of Satan, and there is the kingdom of God. Paul to the church at Colossae said in chapter 1, verse 13, this is Living Bible, he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. Are you glad to be part of the kingdom? I hope that this next two Sundays here, today and next Sunday, will be kind of a checkup for us in understanding of the kingdom of God. I will say that even the 12 disciples that followed him for 3.5 years failed to hear what he was saying. It's amazing. They were right there with him. They heard the voice of the Son of God speaking, telling them what his kingdom was like, and yet all the way up to the end of his life, they still were getting it wrong. They thought that he was coming to establish a realm or a domain, a place like our United States. They thought for sure that he was coming to reestablish Israel, to take the power back from the Roman government, and to establish his reign here upon the earth. Now, all of you Bible scholars know that it's coming. Amen? He's coming back. He's coming back to reign, and his domain will be the entire earth. Incredible, isn't it? In this message, we're going to look at 6 parables. Say, whoa, 6 parables. But we're going to just touch on the 6. These 6 will give us insight, actually, into 3 very powerful truths about the kingdom of heaven. Because you will notice, if you study the words of Jesus, that he reinforces just about everything that he brings out. In other words, he will give a parable and he'll give another parable that reinforces the truth that he is bringing forth. It's a beautiful way to study the Bible. When you look at one thing that he says, go looking for the reinforcement. Go looking for his backup statement to it, because it will always be there. We're in Matthew chapter 13, if you haven't already gotten that from the page. In verse number 31, you read these words. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took, planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Verse 33, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we get to look at the parables of Jesus, not just as he taught them, but as he explained them. We get to understand them this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. And prayerfully, if the soil's right, if our hearts are right, we get to take that seed of truth, plant it deep in the soil of our hearts, and carry it with us and produce 30, 60, 100 times what has been sown into our heart. We can only do that with the help of your Holy Spirit this morning. Guide us in these few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoop, wrong way. Here we go. First, the kingdom of heaven is capable of explosive growth. Not everything is capable of explosive growth, but the kingdom of heaven is. The Lord wanted us to realize what you see in its smallness is not what it will be. I love reading the book of Revelation when he talks about every tribe, every tongue, every nation being represented around the throne. And more people than you can even begin to count, like the sands of the seashore. Hallelujah. We're not going to heaven to just be up there all by ourselves. And I got a feeling that everybody's going to want a front row seat. I don't think that the back rows of heaven will be filled. Because I believe those who are going to be there are people who have such a desire in their hearts that they want to press into the Lord Jesus. They want to be part of his kingdom. And with a sense of urgency and desire, they are wanting to press in. And when we have the opportunity to gather around the throne and he is on the throne, the Lamb who has been slain, oh my goodness, you won't be able to hold us back. Amen. He says to us, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The mustard seed, there's controversy as to what kind of mustard seed this is. Is it a black mustard seed? Is it a white mustard seed? I don't think that it matters, except that he's making the point that it was extremely small. The largest of mustard seed plants grows to about 15 feet high. But in comparison to the minutia of that seed, it's incredible. When it grows, which is an interesting statement, because it's telling us that it has to be planted, it has to be watered, and then it will grow. He doesn't say it will grow, he says when it grows. The opportunity for us to understand the extent of the kingdom of God begins right here. We see what is around us, and we measure by what is around us. But this morning, all over the world, people are worshiping the Lord. They are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. They are reaching out for him. There are people this morning being saved, coming to the Lord Jesus for the very first time. This morning there are people being baptized in water and in the Spirit. I believe that the Lord wants us to realize, though we see in the minutiae, especially in his day, because everything, it seemed like there's a little group here under a tree and there's a little group over here. He wanted them to realize, you're just a beginning point. You're just the seed. But I want you to realize that the kingdom of heaven is huge. What God is doing here, his kingdom, is magnificent. It's glorious. Well, as a matter of fact, he says it has the potential of extraordinary growth, but it must be planted and it must be watered. I don't have time to elaborate on those things too deeply because he goes to the next thing. He says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, but it's kind of one and the same in that he's speaking of the pervasiveness of the gospel. The picture is of a woman mixing yeast into a large amount of flour and the chemical reaction that takes place, turning the entire mixture into dough. Ladies, how many of you have ever done that? Made a biscuit or two or something? It's pretty good. I like the end result. few times when I've been trying to do something, I did this and had flour and I ate just the flour and it was pretty yucky. But you get the yeast in there and the other ingredients and then throw it into a pan or into the oven. Good. The kingdom of heaven is pervasive. That is, when it is allowed to come in, it begins to change everything. As a matter of fact, you know, once that yeast is added to the flour and it's mixed in and it begins that process, you don't even recognize the flour anymore. It changes completely. And it's the same way with the kingdom of God, a life that truly has the kingdom of God planted in it. Truly a believer, where the Spirit of God has come in, that life is different. It's not the same. It's not the same life that it used to be. I have literally, and I think some of you have as well, I've literally seen people who, when they got saved, they looked different. Maybe you've seen them, and they look all beat up and broken by the world. And you watch them. I mean a momentary thing where they come and they give their hearts truly to the Lord at the altar. And when they stand up, there's just this glow about them. There's a transformation about them. So much so, some of you will know what I'm talking about on this. Maybe others won't. But so much so that quite often, you can tell that a person is a believer, that they're part of the kingdom of God before they ever tell you they are. How many have experienced that? Isn't it marvelous? That's because the kingdom of heaven coming into a life, that transformation, the pervasiveness, or that spirit of the kingdom coming into a life changes what we are and what we look like. Hallelujah. The second thing this morning is that the kingdom of heaven is of the greatest value. I think this gets lost on a lot of folks. They have money. They have careers. Some don't throw rocks at me, but some, it's family. I love my family, praise God for my family, but the kingdom is greater than my family. Jesus made a radical statement to his disciples. He says, unless you hate your mother and father and your sons and daughters and sisters and relatives more than me, you're not worthy of me. And you think, oh my goodness, what a statement. And yet he is telling us there's more value in the kingdom than there is in our own families. It's quiet in here now, isn't it? So, well, Pastor, I don't like to think about that. Well, you may think and consider the fact in eternity that though we will know one another, he does not promise that he's putting us back together as families in his kingdom, in heaven. Well, I don't know whether I want to go there or not. I want my dogs and my cats and all my relatives gathered around me. It won't be heaven without them. Yes, it will be heaven. But what you need to understand is the value of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Getting our priorities straight. It's incredible. Let's read that in verse number 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. As I began to think about this, hidden in a field business, came to my understanding, I believe by the help of the Holy Spirit, that what he's talking about is that the things of the kingdom of God are not readily available in this world. One has to look for them. One has to reach out for them. You say, well, it's on the airwaves, it's on the internet, it's on television, it's everywhere all around us. Yes, but it will not come and touch our lives unless we allow it to. The treasure, the value of the kingdom will not be realized until we reach out and bring it in. That Gideon Bible that is sitting in a hotel room does not change any lives. It's just another book or another thing in that hotel room until someone opens the drawer, takes it out, and begins to read it. Huh? So in other words, you could stack all the Bibles that you wanted to stack in that room and their life would not be changed. The kingdom of God would not come in. They would know no more about his kingdom than they did when they entered that room. If it had stacks and stacks of Bibles, it is only when they open up that one and begin to read it that then the kingdom of God begins to come alive. The thing that really kind of throws me about his parable, and it's a specific part, is it says when he finds it, he hides it again. There is, and I'll not talk about this for too much, but there is an exclusivity to the gospel. It belongs to those who will believe. He even says, be careful about casting your pearls before swine. And that's kind of a tough analogy. But he's saying the gospel is not for everyone. It is for those who will see its value and do what is necessary to bring it into their lives. Not everybody's willing to do that. And can I say, without being harsh or judgmental, that some of those are sitting right in a church, right in church pews, church seats today. In other words, they are going through the motions. It's like the Gideons putting the Bible into the hotel room. Thank God for the Gideons. That's the reason why every year we have them come in and give us a report. Thank God for their willingness to do that and to pay for the Bibles and to put them into the hotel rooms and to put them in soldiers' hands and, you know, story after story after story of how the lives were changed. But here's the truth. Not every life was changed. That book did not change everybody that stayed in that hotel room. Some even open up that drawer and see it there or see it setting. It used to set out. Now it sets down in a drawer. But you open up that drawer and they see it and they get angry. Though they've never read it, though they've never accepted anything about the gospel, they open the drawer and get angry that the fact that that Bible is in their room. I have been told that some will even ask the hotel to come and remove the Bible from the room, as though it is going to do something to them sitting in that drawer. Again, to understand there is a bit of exclusivity. It's exclusive to those who will read the word, who will accept the word into their lives. Not everybody is going to be in heaven. One of you actually came to me and was really struggling with the fact of an individual. They went to this person's funeral and they were listening as people put this person who was an absolute reprobate, wanted nothing to do with God, and they were assigning them a place in heaven. Oh, now he's up there with my this person, that person, and walking on streets of gold through gates of pearl. Sounds good, but it's not truth. One has to realize the value of the pearl. They have to recognize the value of the treasure in order to bring it into their lives. And can I tell you this morning, it's more valuable than anything in our lives. The kingdom of heaven is like the merchant looking for fine pearls. There are a lot of people out there searching. They're looking for what is better. I just heard of another star, another individual who is very popular on a program now, who took their life this last week. Hopeless. Well, I understand there's all kinds of things that lead a person to take their life. But I also know the emptiness of a life without God. The kingdom is for those who are seeking more than what this life can offer. When found, the kingdom is worth more than all the kingdoms of this world have to offer. He says that he went and sold everything he had in order to possess that. Now remember, he is describing for us what the kingdom of God is like. He said, the kingdom of God is worth giving up everything that you have. Jesus said in another place to his disciples, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And then he follows it up with, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What a question. Because he realized that even with the knowledge of the kingdom, even for those who open the book, those who learn all about what Jesus has to offer, even those who would sit in a session like this and learn about the riches of the kingdom of God, but whose pursuit in this life and in this world take them off toward their pursuits rather than the kingdom of God. Thirdly, the kingdom of heaven will bring separation. We don't like this one. It doesn't fit into all of our scenarios of feeling good and everything like that, but this is very, very real. Look with me in Matthew 13, verse 24. I have to turn back a page. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" Verse 28, "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go out and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Look at verse number 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the seed, the good seed, is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Wow. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. We need to understand that even in the midst of God's field, remember what he said here, the field is the world. Good seed, he changes the nature in this parable. Remember in the parable of the sower, the seed was the word. In this parable, the seed are the good. Well, how's he say it? The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom, and the weeds are the people of the evil one. If any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, this parable is very disturbing because it is telling us that you can know about the kingdom. You can even be in the midst of the kingdom people. And when the end comes, not have a place in God's heaven. I don't know what that does to you, but it is alarming to me. It's alarming because I realize that week after week, Sunday after Sunday, that I'm not only preaching to good seed, but to weeds. That though there are those who are sown among kingdom people, who are sown by the enemy. Oh yes, I have seen the results of some of those as they have split churches, as they have torn at the fabric of the kingdom of God, as they have discouraged the believers. But I don't like to think about the fact that there are weeds here in God's field. I don't know, what's that do to you? It gives me also a great sense of emergency inside of me, in the sense of realizing God is giving us an opportunity for transformation. Again, we looked at this a few moments ago. He said the kingdom of light of God is pervasive. Once it gets in, it makes changes, unless people won't allow it to. It's an incredibly dangerous place to receive the information, to receive the reality of the kingdom of God, and to not embrace it. And maybe to still continue to place yourself among believers. Because according to this parable and according to Jesus' interpretation of this parable, he is saying that they are weeds and that they belong to the enemy. You say, oh, does everything have to be black and white? It is black and white. It is. There's either good seed that is being watered by the Spirit of God and is producing a harvest of righteousness and holiness and fruit in his kingdom, or there's other seed. And the other seed belongs to the enemy. And Jesus said, we need to realize that there is a day of separation coming. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for us to realize the great, incredible worth of the kingdom of God and to reach out and embrace it, pushing everything else aside. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? Then all these other things will be added unto you. Look at the context of that. He's talking about us worrying over everything about our lives and over everything that's going on in our lives and taking so much time and so much energy to worry and care about all the stuff that is going away. He's not saying don't have those things in your life. He just says, realize the value of my kingdom and seek my kingdom first. Can you serve the Lord? Well, let me check my calendar. I got to see all the other things that I have scheduled in my life. And then if I have any time left, I'll do something in the kingdom of God. That worries me, church. That worries me when it is believers, or at least believers in words, saying that because of parables like this. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. Very simple, very clear and beautiful picture that he gives to us. Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake, caught all kinds of fish. Caught all kinds of fish. They came in. They were retrieved. They were brought in to a kingdom understanding. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in a basket, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's incredible. It's not the most beautiful picture, except when you come to understand that what he is doing, he's building a kingdom of righteousness. He's building a kingdom of holiness. People who want to be like God can't get there on their own, and so they've realized a total and complete dependence upon Jesus. Your prayer life has got to be more than just asking God for the newest and latest and greatest thing that's come along in your life. It has to be the building of relationship. I have to ask you this morning, when's the last time that you just stopped and took time? Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I don't need to ask you for anything. I will give you words of praise and honor and glory because you are worthy of those. But I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just want to be in your presence. If it never enters your mind to do that, you may want to check up. Are you good seed or are you weeds in the field? We won't know until harvest. Because you see, oftentimes they look the same, growing side by side. Or maybe there is a bit of an identification, but you wouldn't dare pull on the weed lest you hurt the crop. A little bit different while you're gathering all the fish in and you're sorting them out. You can toss out the old, but he says that's the way it will be in the end. There is an ingathering that is going on today. Wouldn't it be something if an angel stood at our back door and said, I know your heart. I'm sorry you can't come in because this is God's field. Ooh. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? I know your life. I know your priorities. I know your desire. So I'm sorry you can't come in. He doesn't do that. This is whomsoever day, or whosoever day. Come on. But he's telling us that there is a day of separation coming for his kingdom. I think about that other story, parable that Jesus gives of the wedding feast. Remember that one? I don't think we're studying that, but you know, he invites people, and the invited guests are too busy to come. So he tells the servants to go out into the highways and hedges and find the riffraff, the people that nobody wants to be around, and invites them in. But then there's this part down at the bottom of that story. How many remember the story? You've heard it. Yeah, I thought so. You guys have been around a long time. Where he looks and he sees one without wedding clothes. And he tells the servants, he says, grab them and throw them out. And he uses the same terminology that he uses here. Throwing them into the fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what that gnashing is? That is grinding of teeth. It's literally what it means, the grinding of teeth. That is through the pain. It's a picture that I don't want to put anybody that I know into that picture. But folks, do not erase it from your understanding of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus uses that over and over and over again because it is necessary for us to realize there is a day of separation, the real from the fake. See, we all understand, and we understand very clearly that there's coming a day where people that want nothing to do with God will not have a place with those who want to be with God. Amen? Everybody understands that? Come on, you can help me. Is it just a little nod or something or other so I know you're still alive. There we go. But there's more. It goes deeper than that. You've heard people say, you know, I just hope I make it in by the skin of my teeth. That's not his design. The Lord's really, he's not looking for people that are making it in by the skin of their teeth. Or just barely sliding in. Huh? He's coming for a bride. His kingdom is going to be filled with people who have a priority of his kingdom. It's not judgment for me to say to you this morning, you need to examine your life. What's the priority of your life? How do things stack up? You say, well, how can I tell that? Well, first of all, open up your checkbook. Or look at your credit card statements. Or look at your calendar. You know, if I start approaching the 12 o'clock hour, people are starting to gather their things and heading out the door. I'm sorry, but that's not kingdom people. Say, oh, Pastor, you're judging. No, the truth of the word's judging. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world or loses his own soul? There's a day of separation coming, and we must deal with it. Today, in a day like this, we must deal with this. And decide, do we want to be part of the kingdom of heaven? Because the people of the kingdom of heaven look at the kingdom as the most valuable thing in their life. They're willing to give up everything else for that kingdom. I didn't say it, Jesus did. I think it's interesting. If you look at the next verse down there, I think it's about verse number 51 or so. He says, do you understand this? Boy, that's a powerful statement for us to deal with. Do you understand this? Because he doesn't want us to miss the truth or the reality of this. Let's see if I got that up here. Hello. Yeah. then, like the owner of the house, bring out of your heart both what you know and the new that you have learned. That's the explanation of the rest of that. But do you understand all these things? Do you understand, Jesus said, what I'm telling you in parables? He's saying that to his disciples. Guys and gals, listen. This is the most serious thing that you will deal with in your entire life. The choices that you are making between the things of God and the things of this world. Because God, our Savior Jesus, is looking for a people who hold His kingdom to be the most precious thing in their life. And you know what? I don't blame Him. The kingdom of heaven then is capable of explosive growth. The kingdom of heaven is of greatest value, and the kingdom of heaven will bring separation. Father in heaven, I pray this morning that you would help us to realize the significance of what Jesus taught us in these parables. Your word says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. We so often, Lord, want to procrastinate turning everything over to you because we want to enjoy the things of this world. But help us, Lord, to realize the brevity of our lives, the suddenness of your coming, and the reality of the separation that will take place when we're no longer tied to this earth. Oh, God. Help us, O Lord, to ask ourselves the question, do we understand this? And even more, what will we give in exchange for our souls? You have brought into being an incredible kingdom. You have invited by your grace and mercy those who would believe and receive to be part of your kingdom. Help us, O Lord, this morning to recognize what you have offered to us and to lay down our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Praise you, Lord. If you need to know Christ as your Savior, I want you to realize there are people here that would love to pray with you. We would love to help you to move toward the kingdom of God. Your choices. Maybe you know all about His kingdom, but you've never really, as Jesus said, sold everything to make His kingdom a priority in your life. If you've never met Him, I invite you to come to the altar. If there's a question on separation day as to which group you would be in, I would invite you to come and find a place of prayer here at this altar. You say, well, why do I have to do it now? Because you see, when you leave this place, as we studied last week, the cares of this life will pluck this seed right out of your heart and mind. The enemy will make sure of that. The cares of this life will swallow it up. Now's the time. Today is the day. This is the hour to make a decision. Father in heaven, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as your Spirit moves upon us, that we would respond. You know us. You know our name. You know everything about us. And you love us. You're ready to meet with us. You're ready to take over in our lives. Give us hope beyond hope. But I pray right now, nothing, not lunch, nothing would hold us back from receiving what you have for us today. In Jesus' name. Could we just pause for just a moment and give anyone who would like to come and pray a moment or two to come forward, and then we'll conclude. Don't hesitate, just step out and come and find a place at this altar, and our elders and others will come and pray with you and believe with you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Minister right now, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, move upon us. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Praise you, Lord. Allow me, if you would, please, to give a little bit of an instruction to those who are staying with us for the luncheon and then the business meeting to follow. Everything is prepared. If you just make your way back to the kitchen, if you are a member and signed up, they are ready for you. You can go right through the line and get your food. Then the business meeting will follow. Father in heaven, we pray your blessings now over us as we leave this place. May your Spirit go with us. Bless the food and the fellowship that we're going to have in the next few minutes and the business meeting to follow. May we do kingdom business today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks.